Hello, friends, and welcome. I'm your co-host, Andrew Lazaga, here with Dubside.
And you're listening to The Dubcast with Dubside.
So, Dubside, I finally got my new Ipik two-piece carbon fiber Greenland paddle from Gear Lab Outdoors.
All right. How is it?
Well, before I go into this little review, in the name of transparency, I want to mention that Gear Lab does not sponsor this podcast.
That's true.
They did offer me a discount on the purchase of this paddle in exchange for a monthly mention of Gear Lab in their paddles, but I actually declined that offer for a couple reasons. First of all, I actually had already put in my order before they sent me this offer, and I also don't want to be bothered with thinking of new ways of mentioning Gear Lab paddles every time we do a Dubcast.
All right. So we're free to speak our own minds on this.
Yes. What you're getting is my unbiased opinion.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think it's absolutely an amazing, incredible paddle, and I totally love it. First of all, it's incredibly lightweight. I mean, you feel this thing, and the weight is negligible. Mm-hmm. It's like 595 grams.
Yeah.
I love the quality of the finish, and it's much better than my Superior Kayaks carbon fiber paddle, which I bought 17 years ago.
Well, so the new Gear Lab, it's still got the replaceable tips, right?
Yes, it comes with
that's cool.
Replaceable tips, and they give you a pair to replace the ones that it comes with. And it's, like I said, it's two-piece, has a really nice oval loom, and the two halves slip together very securely.
Right.
And this is the medium size, so it's 219 centimeters, about 86 and a half inches long. So a little shorter than my 88-inch Superior Kayaks paddle.
Mm-hmm.
And 8.8 centimeters wide, so 3.5 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
The blades
Now this one's got shoulders on it, right?
Yeah. This is, I think...
That's the one thing I don't like about the Kayak, the last one.
Okay.
But yeah, nice. Shoulders.
Shoulders and an oval loom. The blades are pretty thin at the edges compared to my old paddle.
All right, yeah, nice.
Yeah, it cuts through the water, really smooth entry, quiet. Mm-hmm. This is the best paddle I've ever used. I can't imagine a better paddle than this.
Yeah.
But this is only, I've only used it once, but I was really impressed.
Right. Well, I could say that somebody at the last, I think it was Delmarva, gave me a one-piece wooden paddle, and I've got so many two-piece paddles, so the wooden one paddle, and I've used that quite a bit over the winter now, and you know I like my carbon fiber paddles, I like the Gear Lab paddles, but the flex of a wooden paddle, you just cannot get with carbon fiber.
Yeah,
there's something about that little springiness in it, which is nice. I mean, I'm still going to use my carbon fiber paddles, but just as a note, the beauty of a wooden paddle, that there is something to be said for that. It's a little flex to it. But the other thing, you know, with your the new Gear Lab you have now, they gave you that little disc of wax.
Yes. Yep.
You come with it? Okay. What I had suggested this a long time ago. I don't know if they got the word or not, but I always lose that wax. When you need it, you can't find it. I was asking them, you know, they've I don't know if you have to pay extra, but that nice carrying bag with a little strap on it, with the mesh to dry through, it works very, very well. Because the most of your damage to a two-piece carbon fiber is going to have to any paddle is going to happen off the water, you know, when you're in your car banging around. But you put it in that bag, keeps it very nicely. I want a little pocket on that bag to put the thing of wax in.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Every time you pull out the paddle, you just put some wax on it and then you use it and then you take it apart. But every time I'm grabbing the paddle to go out with it, I don't know where the wax is. I lost it. And so I just take it out without the wax. That's my suggestion for that improvement there.
Okay. What am I supposed to use that wax for?
you put it on the ferrule, on the part that goes inside the outside part.
Okay. That's I just
slip it around there. Now whenever I put a two-piece paddle together, I'm sticking my finger in and trying to make sure there's no dirt in the inside part. And even better is to pour some water in there to get, because any little bit of sand in there is just going to start to abrade and wear down the paddle.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. so the you make sure that's clean, and then the wax is just a smooth, give you a nice smooth, you know, sliding in and out kind of a thing.
Okay. That's what I thought it was for.
Yeah.
I didn't do that initially.
Yeah, you're right. There's no instructions. You don't even know what the thing is for when you get it. It's a nice thought. I just wish it would in a better place. I could find it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like wooden paddles too. I like the feel of wood on my bare hands. Yeah. And of course, making your own paddle, like making your own kayak, is part of the whole Greenland style experience. And I like the point you made about flexibility as well. This paddle was so lightweight and thin, I was afraid that I was going to break it. But I'm sure it's you know, a lot stronger than I think it is.
Well, and as the part of the trade-off, you know, a wooden paddle, you're never going to get a wooden paddle as light as that one is, unless it's going to break quite easily.
Yeah.
So, the lightness, the carbon fiber definitely has an edge there.
So, you know, if you want to splurge on the best carbon fiber Greenland paddle out there, you need to take a really good look at the Ipik from Gear Lab. Mm-hmm. I challenge anyone out there to find a better paddle. It's really incredible. I think Chungxi and his crew have really done an amazing job with this. What do you think? Is there anybody out there that can compare?
Well, nobody else has those replaceable tips. That sets Gear Lab apart from every other paddle. I mean, you might get a nice paddle, but as soon as you use it for a while, the ends are going to get torn up and eventually, you know, crack or break or something. That Gear Lab and that design with those tips in the end is just, that just beats everything else.
Yeah, I mean, my Superior Carbon, recently I've been noticing how the tips are getting a little worn and, you know,
the edges of that are kind of chunky. If they're really sharp, they'd be more prone to be damaging. But so part of the strength of the paddle is the chunkiness. But you know, you can't get that nice clean silent entry with a chunky edge paddle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's all I have to say. And we'll get on to the next episode here.
Welcome to the Dubcast with Dubside. This is Dubcast number 41. I want to tell you about a place called Lake Stevens, Washington, where I once lived for a year and paddled quite a bit. We'll have some music by a group called Sume, a group that goes way back in Greenland, very historically important. And if I have time, we might have another little surprise. Well, about an hour north of Seattle, there is a lake somewhat inland from Puget Sound, and it's called Lake Stevens. And there's a town there. The lake is about 6 or 7 miles all the way around if you stay tight to the shoreline. Way back in the late 1800s, there was a sawmill built on Lake Stevens. And they had a railroad to bring in logs and take out the lumber. The town of Lake Stevens expanded around the sawmill since it was the major business concern in the area. And this went on till about the early 1900s. And there was a fire that burned down the sawmill. It was rebuilt once, but some years later another fire burned it down and they did not rebuild it. And as the mill itself was gone, they still had the train. And according to local folklore, the locomotive somehow wound up in the lake. I don't know if it was put there maliciously, driven off the end of the tracks, or some embankment broke, or whatever happened, but it wound up in the lake, and over time sank under the water. And this being about 100 years ago, by more modern times, there was no evidence. You couldn't see the thing underwater anywhere. But people would say there's somewhere down there is an entire locomotive. It wasn't until about 1995 that somebody decided to investigate this folklore story. And a Navy training team went down to the lake, did some underwater investigating, and they found, deep in the mud, the locomotive is at the bottom of that lake, under the bottom of that lake. Well, back in the 1920s, I imagine that version of Lake Stevens was such that you could run a whole locomotive into a lake and not anybody there to take a picture of it. However, nowadays, there is a fairly expensive house occupying just about every available piece of shoreline property around that lake. But there are two public boat ramps, and the one on the northwest tip of the lake has a little access road. And about half a block down, you cross the street, and there is a structure of townhouses laid out in a U shape. And it's called the Colonial Gardens. And I lived there from the middle of 2006 to the middle of 2007. Had a pretty nice situation there. I was within sight of the lake, and the post office was right next to me, and the library was right next to me, and there was a bus stop there too. So when I got tired of paddling on the lake, I could get on the bus and ride out towards the town of Everett and rivers that fed into Puget Sound and Whidbey Island, etc., all the way down to Seattle. Lots of good paddling choices. When I paddled around the circumference of Lake Stevens, looking at the expensive residences, you could see some houses had a kayak at their dock. They all seemed to have a dock on the water. And some had the motorboat, lots of motorboats, a lot of the towboats for water skiing. And there was maybe two or three houses that had a plane, you know, a float plane parked at their dock. And there was one house had a helicopter. I guess he thought he was top dog in Lake Stevens, as far as that goes. The townhouse I lived in was a two-bedroom, two-story, no-basement affair. And all the townhouses together were, as I said, in a U-shape. And so they had front door and front windows, upstairs, downstairs, and then the back had windows and sliding glass door. But there was one unit on the back corner. Since it was on the corner, it had sort of a two-sided backyard and windows all the way down one side instead of just on the back. And by some stroke of good luck, that was the townhouse that I lived in, with a big backyard. And I had, it was some cement patio back there, so I put a rope structure back there. I could practice my Greenland ropes. And when I first moved in there, to get a kayak, my folding kayak, out to the lake, I couldn't take a kayak through the front door because just the way the angles were, it wouldn't fit. So I would just take it disassembled, roll it on the pack down the sidewalk and over to the boat ramp, and then put it together on the boat ramp and paddle that way. And the backyard, I could put store kayaks back there, but to get from the backyard without going through the house, I'd have to walk through my backyard and just across everyone else's patio, a row of, 10 or 15 townhouses to get out. And I wasn't sure what the etiquette was for cutting across someone's patio in sight of their glass doors. After about a month of assembling my kayak at the boat ramp, I was encouraged to walk through the backyards, walk across the patios. I was told this, it's okay to do that. It's that you can carry your kayak that way. So you live here, it's no problem. And then it became much easier to get out on the lake by just putting the kayak on my head and walking it over there. About three or four doors down, and there was this kid living there. He had an older brother. who was maybe 13 or 14. This kid was maybe 9 years old or so. And really outgoing kid, you know, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on? And I think his parents might have spoke Spanish, but I didn't have much interaction with them. I have no recollection what this kid's name was, but he definitely had a name for me. He would say, hey, kayak man. So at this point in my kayaking career, I had released the Greenland Rolling with Dubside DVD, and before that, the Ropes DVD. And I was getting some income from them. I think I hadn't yet done the mass production of paying a service to crank those out. I was burning DVDs one at a time and printing the labels and sticking them on. A rather arduous process. And the next DVD that I released, the Modern Greenland Kayaking, I was spending a lot of time editing that. I was also making appearances at the Kayak USA events around the country, and I'm still doing that to this day. Well, just about 2 weeks after I moved into that townhouse in Lake Stevens, I made a trip to the Michigan training camp towards the end of August. So that was going away for a long weekend. October came, and I flew across the country to attend the Delmarva Paddlers Retreat. I'd come back from these events and get the little welcome from the neighborhood kid. Hey, kayak man! And then I'd be back to the desk work of duplicating DVDs I'd already put out and editing the footage for new ones I was getting ready to make. So in my living room there, I could sit there at the table, but every so often, like a face would appear at the window, go gliding past. It was either the kid or his older brother. And they had their scooters. This is before the electric scooters really took hold. Those little foot scooter things with the handles that stick up. And they were riding them in the back, through the back patios there. And I guess, you know, just with your own yard isn't big enough with a scooter. You want some more room. So they would come all the way down and come around the corner and double back, you know, next to my ropes rig. And, you know, I kind of thought this is supposed to be my backyard here, but you guys are just rolling your scooters through it. And I would have made an issue, except that I was walking through their patio every time to take my kayak to the water. So I felt I couldn't really make a fuss about them if they weren't going to make a fuss about me. So I had to just live with it. But I did kind of get into some passive-aggressive stuff. I had some cinder blocks and things. And so I tried to make some obstructions so they wouldn't come all the way through my area with their scooters. And they apparently found that to be useful as making a little ramps. You know, they found some boards and a little ramp to like ride up and jump off of, and just more fun with a scooter. So my attempts to make it less attractive only made it more attractive to them. During the time I lived in Lake Stevens, sea kayaking had gotten popular enough to be featured in videos that were not just instructional videos, but would just showcase interesting people and places. And I was featured in two of these type of videos. There was one by Brian Smith, a guy from Canada. It was called Pacific Horizons, dealing with the interesting kayaking in the Pacific Northwest. So he's got footage of me getting on the bus with my folding kayak, as well as rolling in ropes. And Justine Kurgenven did a video called This is the Sea, which is popular enough to be sequels of that done. And by the time they got to This is the Sea 4, she featured me with my folding kayak and rolling in ropes. So when I wasn't out on the buses with my folding kayak or in the backyard on ropes, or working editing videos, I was out paddling on Lake Stevens, either practicing rolling on the cove where I was, which probably had that locomotive down there in the mud somewhere, or I was paddling all the way around the lake, passing by the motorboats and the planes and the helicopter, and rolling as I went here and there. It was one house. There's somebody who lived there had seen me roll once, maybe. And then every time they saw me, they would say, "Hey, flip it." So I'd give them a roll. Rolling on demand is a good training exercise. Of all the places I've lived in my life, I think Lake Stevens was the closest I was to water I could paddle on. And I think I made the most of it. I looked through my logbook, and in 1 year of living on Lake Stevens, I paddled on that lake, counting them up, exactly 100 times. During the winter, there were a few times the temperature got down to in the 30s, but the lake did not freeze. I'd come off the water and still have my dewey leak on and be carrying the kayak back to my house, and kid would say, "Hey, kayak man, isn't it cold out there?" And I'd say, "Not when you're dressed for it like I am." Well, when April came around, I went across the country to the East Coast Canoe and Kayak Festival in Charleston, South Carolina, one of my regular stops. And in June came time for STIX, the South Sound Traditional Inuit Kayak Symposium, there in the Seattle area. And I made a couple trips up to Canada, or Vancouver and a few other places. And I discovered that I'd been selling a lot of my rolling DVDs to one particular place in Sweden. And this place in Gothenburg, known as the Escape Kayak Center, got in touch with me and invited me to come out there in August for some instruction. And so the people that had been buying the DVDs could meet me in person and take classes from me. Now, that was a very encouraging and exciting development, but I had to balance that out with a less than encouraging and exciting development. It was becoming quite clear that I was not making enough money through DVD sales and kayak instruction to afford an entire townhouse for just me to live in. The way the schedules worked out, I would leave for Sweden the day the lease expired. I had made arrangements to stay with some friends when I got back and put my stuff in storage. So while I was in the process of loading all the boxes out of the door to someone with a car, who should appear but the neighborhood kid and his older brother, wondering what all the commotion was about. And I explained to them, "Yeah, I'm moving out because I can't afford to keep living here." So the kid takes this in, and then he says, I think we're going to miss you." I looked down at him and said, "I think I'm going to miss you too, buddy." That was 15 years ago. I have never seen that kid since. I have met some really, really cool people through kayaking, but too many of them, I didn't realize that I wouldn't see them again. But now that I do a podcast and am more conscious of these things, I can take steps to, in some small way, save some essence of the people that I meet. And since this is a podcast, using the medium of audio instead of video, and I've got some decent field recording gear, here is someone I recently talked to. This is the Delmarva Paddlers Retreat 2022, and I'm talking to Javier. And I met you, what, at Hergif?
Here. What the first time was here in 2018.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, how do you like coming here to Delmarva?
My friend Chevan Dixon from Yonkers, the club in New York City, around in New York, brought me here, and I enjoy Delmarva. It is a very unique an interesting place that you meet people who follow Green Line style rolling. I got hooked, and I love everything that happens here. The people, the atmosphere, the training, the rolling, everything is fine here.
So how did you start kayaking?
I am from Bogota, Colombia's capital, and my connection to the water is zero because we have a river there, but nobody gets to the river because it's so contaminated.
All right.
So I had been living here in the United States for 38 years and in New York, and I saw an advertising or a news article in the Daily News in New York.
Yeah.
And I read it and I said, oh, you can paddle free in New York City? Okay. So I went to the Hudson and 70th Street. That was, that was like 6 years ago.
Okay.
And they gave me a sit on tap kayak and a paddle. And I felt for the first time the current, the wind. And I fell in love with kayaking.
Uh-huh.
And then I start taking classes, going places. And when I discovered rolling, Greenland rolling, I was like something extraordinary for me.
Uh-huh.
In Colombia.
Where did you first see Greenland rolling?
I was supposed to take a trip.
Yeah.
On the East River in New York City.
Uh-huh.
But they said, you are not allowed to take this trip with you. This is for advanced people. So I said, okay. But the canoeing people said, you want to go with us? We are going to the same place. So I went in a canoe.
Okay.
And I saw people rolling on the East River. And I said, I want to do that. Oh, man, you can do that? Yeah. Because in Colombia I was national champion of gymnastics.
Yeah.
So it's very similar. When you go to a gym and you practice gymnastics, what you do is to follow your coach. And they said, "Oh no, grab your legs. Oh no, start rotating. No, leave your head back. Whatever it is, right?" In kayaking and especially in rolling, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay attention to the coach, and you need to say, okay, kayak first, head the last, and you need to rotate, and you need to do all these things. So that's why I developed a very strong relationship with kayaking, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So how many, can you do a lot of the rolls now?
I can do like 15.
Yeah, very good.
Today I add another role to my repertoire, the sculling role.
Yeah,
yeah, because I was when I capsized and I was trying to scull, I was lost. I don't know where to put my paddle.
Dan Siegel.
Siegel helped me with some instructions, and then I did it, and it's very easy for me to do it because I know where to put the paddle, how to move my legs, and I enjoy that.
Very good.
But I live in New York. I live in Jackson Heights, Queens, and sometimes it's difficult to practice rolling because of the river, because of the conditions there.
To find a spot in the river, there's just too much current or too much other boat traffic, or what's?
It's the combination.
The water's not good.
It's the combination of all those things.
Okay.
But you have to find the right spot. But it's difficult to find a beach that you can just land and you can relax and somebody can stay next to you and teach you. That part is difficult.
All right.
So if you want to teach rolling, maybe you have to teach from a kayak to another kayaker, and that complicates things. But we are doing it.
You don't have anywhere there's a pool in the wintertime where you can go with kayaks?
I learned my first roll in a pool on 145th Street.
Okay.
by the Hudson River, but because of the pandemic,
we don't have
access to the that pool anymore.
Okay.
But yes, but it's tough.
Yeah, the pools I used to go to in their time haven't gotten back into it yet, but yeah, we're hoping that finishes soon and we can get back to
Yeah, that's very important. And the good thing is that we need to reach out to new people, minorities, and we need to keep going and improve our skills in all the clubs in New York City, because that's the only way that we can preserve the Greenland style rolling.
Yeah.
And we have a strong task to accomplish. And Del Marva is an example of things that can be doing, and we can improve things.
Yeah. So you've been to the Hudson River Greenland Festival?
Yes. I have been there. I have been there with Jack. Yes, it's also an extraordinary place that you can learn, that you can be with friends, that you can roll, that you can enjoy life. I have a video on YouTube.
Yeah, tell me about that. So where how to find it on YouTube?
It's about 5 minutes. Uh-huh. And I did that video after like 3-4 years of rolling and doing footage. The video is how kayaking changed my life. Mm-hmm. It's in English. I'm from Colombia. I'm from Bogota. And that I put that video there because it is true. Kayaking has changed my life in many ways. When you do rolling, Greenland rolling, you have to be in shape. So you have to practice some yoga or gymnastics just to get there. You have to get the right kayak, and you don't have to be afraid of water to progress. Yeah. So I put everything together there, and kayaking also, besides developing a good body, a good way of selecting the right boat, also have many friends, many people, many things to take care of, to improve my life, and that's extraordinary. So to talk to people who really are connected to the water, people who take care of the environment, people who are really very, very good human beings.
Yeah. So I'm always interested in other cultures and especially other languages like Greenlandic. So I want to ask you, what you just said about how it's changed your life and how much you like kayaking, tell me that in Spanish.
Oh, very interesting. So yeah, probably this is going to be the first time that you are going to have your podcast in Spanish.
Yeah, right? No, I don't speak Spanish, so I'll have to ask somebody else what you said. But I want to hear you speak a different language.
That's no problem. Yeah. So kayaking ha cambiado mi vida en una forma muy, muy profunda. Yo vivo aquí en Estados Unidos hace 38 años en Nueva York y descubrí kayaking hace 6 años y he tomado cursos, he viajado a otros estados aprendiendo mucho de kayaking y descubrí Del Marva y descubrí el Hudson River Festival también de kayak. Eso me ha cambiado mucho la vida porque me ha obligado primero a estar en forma con mi cuerpo, a hacer ejercicio. Me ha también forzado a entender qué clase de kayak necesito para hacer los ejercicios y a entender que el agua es mi amigo, que yo puedo disfrutar del agua, que yo puedo estar dentro del agua por mucho tiempo o por varios segundos haciendo el rollo. O sea, ha cambiado mi vida de muchas maneras y sobre todo me ha abierto la puerta para entender la filosofía y la gente que está alrededor del kayaking, que es personas interesantísimas, personas que les gusta proteger el medio ambiente, que les gusta proteger su cuerpo, comer bien y disfrutar la vida.
Gracias.
Oh, de nada, Botzai. Usted ha sido una persona que me ha ayudado. You have been very helpful for my development of the skills, and I'm grateful for that. And yeah, it's extraordinary.
I think I heard you say something about the water is your friend, right?
Yes, el agua es su amigo.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
I learned from you. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
All right.
Yes, muy bueno. That is Javier from New York City. And maybe Andrew can post a link in the show notes to his video online. Here is a song called Kashlarimi Ishli Nesiorata. I'll tell you more about it after we've heard it.
Do kafe sasua kamunga esestugu anese pisangila matua matustugu i havim mi pustota voktin guchi toshdua mistua vokti soka poke kumitsumi igala kile punga matuti sakangila isasut ulingavo Kamat nasi magami Nechivim mutni poka putinuhit Tonegi Baishlinek ayonakat nipisangana Nechivim mutni poka putilama Tonegi Baishlinek ayonakat nipisangana Na 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 Isto kafeta suha unugu kiviguni Tane kisavok piga puetini yariyuk Nakani ipiguna sokangila Namivik kavanut puigisa sila nakana Aningak piviyushuni Tunguyok iminarik Kimitamani pigut Anulerni ashtuhit Kashtolimi ishline siyarata Naminek babunga Ingeshtasa pigishtuta Na 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 na
Kashlarimi Ishli Nesiorata is a song from the first CD by a group called Sume, S-U-M-E. And they were from all the way back in the 70s. And they set the precedent of not trying to just follow in the footsteps of Danish or American musicians, but they started speaking about, writing songs about the Inuit condition and how they felt about things, and it was very groundbreaking at the time. And this was the subject of a recently done documentary about how important this group was, and it's called The Sound of a Revolution. So many of their CDs, including this one, as well as this DVD, are available at atlanticmusic.gl. The lyrics of the song we just heard talk about how disorienting and alienating it is to live in a big city. I won't give you all the translation, but that's the general theme. So after my stay in Lake Stevens ended, my trips to Sweden began, and I will tell you about many of my Swedish experiences coming up in Dubcast number 42.
For a glimpse of what it's like kayaking around Manhattan, be sure to check out Javier's video titled Kayaking and Rolling in New York by Javier Castaño. I'll put a link in the show notes.
You've been listening to the Dubcast with Dubside. And thank you for listening. Thank you. Koyanok. Gracias.